This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and here I am with my Japanese beer-drinking co-host, Yon. Hello, Yon.
Japanese beer-drinking? Where the hell does that come from?
Asahi.
I don't drink Linux distributions.
Indeed. So yes, unfortunately the topic isn't Japanese beer. Asahi's not my favorite beer, but it's fine.
Biru, as I say in Japan.
Indeed. Not my favorite, but still not bad. But no, what we're talking about instead is, the sad news that the sort of initial sort of founding maintainer of the Asahi Linux project announced a little while ago that he was stepping back from the Asahi Linux project, gave a very, very in-depth sort of blog post with, you know, a lot of background, a lot of his experience, and, you know, the reasons why he was deciding to make the change. So for those of you that aren't familiar, Asahi Linux is the Linux distribution that was built to support the Apple Silicon Macs. And, you know, there's lots of angles to this particular story, many of which we will not really touch on because we don't have any of the real context here. But there is one angle, maybe two angles on this that I think I'm at least somewhat experienced about and can at least share an opinion for what it's worth. So let's just kind of dive straight in. So as I mentioned, the Asahi Linux project is a project to allow users to run, install and run Linux on the Apple Silicon Macs. It started off obviously with the M1 series MacBooks, and you know, has continued to go on from there. And while, as I said, there are several angles towards this, I think I'm just going to sort of touch on two of those, but they are very closely related. And one of the points is, it is incredibly difficult. Almost unfathomably difficult to imagine how much time and effort went in to getting the Asahi Linux distribution in the state that it is today. Very workable for a lot of people. Yes, there's a few things that don't work as well as they do on Mac, but the sort of the majority of the sort of basic functionality, you can use it, you can start it up, it'll go, and that sort of thing. Like, doing this without manufacturer vendor support, and not just without support, but like, Apple are, I think, famously protective about this, you know, any form of messing with their hardware. And I'm sure we'll have done everything that they can to oppose, you know, what the Asahi Linux project largely stands for. And we've seen this, you know, many times in the past, whether it's, you know, weird and wacky fingerprint readers that people just cannot reverse engineer, or I mean, probably the famous ones were sort of GPUs back in the day, you know, ATI, as was back then AMD, have famously not always been the best, but generally speaking have worked pretty well with the open source community, contributing, you know, in a lot of cases documents, reference material, in some cases even code, to helping the open source drivers for their GPUs, for their inbuilt graphics, you know, making them work, you know, fairly well. You can always get a binary-only version directly from the vendor, but they've been, you know, pretty good as a whole. NVIDIA, on the other end of the scale, have typically been fairly terrible for supporting open source. There's been a few dribs and drabs here and a few bits of material here and there, but generally speaking, the majority of people with NVIDIA-based graphics cards, if they want any kind of performance out of it, download the binary drivers and just accept that life. Tainting your kernel and all that sort of stuff. And people, you know, this happens because reverse engineering is an incredibly time-consuming and difficult job. And, you know, the Asahi Linux project is not just, you know, it's not just a GPU they're reverse engineering. It's the entire system that they're attempting to reverse engineer. And it's a system, yes, technically it's ARM architecture, but it's very, very unique in a lot of ways. And the efforts, as I say, that have gone into getting the Asahi Linux distribution to the level that it is today is frankly amazing. And my hat is off to Hector and the team that sort of got the distribution as far as they did. So that's kind of one angle on this. You know, the reverse engineering stuff is difficult. Reverse engineering stuff at this level of complexity, I think, is like world class. And, you know, this makes life, incredibly, incredibly hard. Because the second point that I find very frustrating.
If somebody is doing all of this work out of the goodness of their heart or because they have a hobby project, and there's so many people using Mac M1s and whatever, and a lot of them want to use Linux, I'm sure he got a lot of support and good bill at the beginning and end and in between. Everybody was happy and supportive, right?
Yeah, very much so. No, not at all. Well, that's not true. I would say that he got a huge amount of support initially, enough to certainly fund him initially jumping off and doing this. But I would say that sort of enthusiasm, you know, dropped off very, very quickly. And this is the kind of second point that I was getting to, which is the community around Asahi Linux, I think, has two very polarizing populations. I think there is a small, unfortunately, a small, maybe a medium, but it is still a minority, I think, that are very supportive and, continuing to cheer on the Asahi Linux project. I think there is a, unfortunately, larger, still not, you know, massive population, but an unfortunately larger part of the population that is, you know, really, I'm not quite sure would go as far as to say negative about the experience, but continually sort of, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do that, it doesn't have support for this, it doesn't have support for that, oh, it's terrible, oh, it's unusable. And it's just, there's no need for that kind of behavior. The people working on these kinds of projects are very, very well aware every single day of the limitations of what they're doing and the gaps that they still have to fill and the challenges that they still have. Like, they don't need constant, you know, bickering and sort of
but if I don't tell them exactly what I want every day, how do I know that they actually know that somebody out there wants that?
Yeah. And this is where I think a not insignificant part of Hector's kind of stress and frustrations come from. Like, you can't, especially in this social media world we live in, it's very difficult to switch off those really negative voices and to tune them out when, you know, some of the comments are just frankly disgusting, and those people should be ashamed of themselves. This is something, as you said, like done by, you know, someone, you know, stepping up and volunteering. Yeah, okay, they were funded for a period of time by the donations of others, but that is it. Like, they are still very much, this is still very much a hobbyist's community project. And thankfully, you know, a handful of other folks have stepped in as well and have been supporting Hector through the last couple of years. But this sort of experience is unfortunately, you know, not, it's isn't the first time this has happened. It won't be the last time this sort of thing happens. And it's deeply saddening. Now, there's several other aspects to, you know, things that Hector shared in his blog post. I'd encourage you to read it if you're at all interested in the Asahi Linux project. Yeah, there's some fairly honestly disappointing and kind of sad stuff there, of which I have no evidence or knowledge about, so I just can't speak to it. But, you know, my final piece on this really is that unfortunately, this is sort of how I thought this would all kind of end from the very beginning. As much as I desperately wanted the Asahi Linux project to be successful, because I love the idea of, I've always really, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, enjoyed Apple's laptop hardware. Like, it's genuinely and generally pretty good. We won't talk about the butterfly keyboard. We won't talk about the touch bar.
Okay, if you don't talk about any of the bad things, yes, it's great hardware.
Exactly. And it's consistently very good, apart from, you know, a couple of things. But I cannot stand the macOS experience. I really genuinely dislike it. So, and I spent basically pretty much 5 years using it for work, because that was what was provided with previous employer. So I think I can speak from some position of, if not authority, at least vague knowledge, at least for my personal preferences. So I was desperately hoping that this would work, but I genuinely don't think this will ever get to the point where it will be usable for me personally as a daily driver. I know thousands of people find it absolutely fine and are using it themselves. I don't think it will get that far to me. But the remaining folks on the Asahi Linux project also posted a blog post after Hector's, and, you know, shared their future direction and, you know, what they're hoping to do. And there's obviously a clear call out for if you are a talented sort of kernel level developer, I think your talents would be very much appreciated. And if you've got experience reverse engineering things, even more so. But, you know, the project continues. One man departing it doesn't mean that it's done. But unfortunately, I think this is one of those really, like, challenge too far, uphill struggles that will never quite make it. But I desperately hope that I'm proven wrong, and I desperately hope that they do make it, because I think it's a fantastic thing. And I'd love the best Linux in the world and the best hardware in the world, quote unquote, maybe, coming together would be wonderful.
I mean, it could be. I mean, this could be the wake-up call that the community not working as it is at the moment needs to give this again a fighting chance. It's sad that the founder, originator of the project has stepped down. He took a decision that will be good for his own personal life, which is always to be applauded.
Very much so.
But the force of open source is that it shouldn't be one person that can make or break it, and they are continuing, so that's good. And again, with a bit of luck, this will maybe cause people to think before they speak. One can hope, but Yeah, I mean, the entitlement in the whole of these, anything that's internet, to be honest, is humongous. And it's, in my opinion, really blocking a lot of great creative initiatives. Because if you want to do this, if you want to be a maintainer, a project leader, something like that, people will throw rocks at things that shine. And you need to have a very thick skin to live with that. Don't read comments. Don't go into forums. Let the people rant and do the thing anyway. And that is something that people are not built to do. People are built to be social animals. Mm. The exception, obviously. But we are kind of engineered not to be able to cope with that very well. And if you're doing something from a project of love, let's call it that, and you get these kinds of attacks that can indeed be very, very vicious, it's incredibly hard to distanciate that from you. And the whatever reaction is fairly easy to just throw in the towel and stop it. I'm actually very grateful that Hector, which I don't know personally at all, and I am not one of those fanatics that think Macs are better than anything. I mean, if you want to have a Linux experience, buy something that Linux runs well on. But whatever. I think it's great that he didn't just bury the project, which he could have done probably. If he wanted to, he could have stayed on a little bit longer and just break things everywhere and make the whole thing a non-starter in the future. He didn't do that. He stepped down. He helped the team to continue it. So from that point, I mean, you never know with people, you only get one side of the story, but that action by itself kind of buys them a lot of credit in my book. I mean, there's different ways of doing that, and I think he did the right way, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I mean, I made some note when you were talking there in your long monologue. But I just noted here, okay, volunteers and motivation. I mean, even if not a project leader, all of these projects are voluntary things, and I've been a volunteer in not Linux, but different real world kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the hardest things to do from a point of leadership is to keep your volunteers motivated, keep them motivated, keep them coming, keep them showing up, basically. Mm. And if you are using the hard work of these teams, badgering them is not giving them what you It didn't work when you were a child. If your parents beat you, that didn't make you a kinder soul. And it's the reverse, and that stays the same when you're an adult. If you want to get things done, work with them, not against them. If you want this thing is very important for you, find ways of making it happen. And if you can't do that, apparently it's not that important to you. And in that case, just let it go. Ask the question. Typically, these things and these projects have GitHub projects where you can upvote topics that already asked. I mean, feedback from the community is great. That's what these projects need. Definitely, they prioritize their work based on the feedback from the community. But don't open the same ticket 20,000 times because then they will see it. No, that's, I think, the surefire way to make sure your thing never gets done. Again, community, collaboration, and common sense, which is, as you always say,
not that common. Yeah.
And that's, of course, why Dave is insistent on trying to use Linux on Mac hardware, because hardware of Macs are so great and perfect and bountiful.
I wouldn't say insistent on it. I think it would be a marriage made in heaven. But one other thing that I think I have, I give Hector huge respect, is that it's very, very difficult to open up with that sort of level of honesty. You know, he definitely, within that blog post, acknowledges his own shortcomings in some areas. But his, ultimately, I think, what, you know, all of the different things that happened during the last handful of years have basically led to him burning out to a large extent. And the fact that he has recognized it, he's stepped away, he's going to take time for himself. You know, that alone also takes a huge amount of emotional strength. And And then on top of that, to share that with the world, you know, that another order of magnitude beyond. It's another, you know, in my mind at least, a sign of great character, great strength. I wish Hector all the very best. I hope he sort of recovers. I hope he kind of finds something that that motivates him once more, and you know, he sort of continues on with something else that he gets equal amount of joy and energy from. So, yeah.
Yeah, just to make sure it's clear, the blog post you made, it's not mudslinging, it's not vengeful, there's no rancune in there. It's just stating out the facts, his personal decision, and anything that might be a bit controversial, he automatically says, I'm not going to go into that now. There's stuff on the internet, read it, look it up for yourself. So,
yeah.
No, it's sad, but the right way to do for him, I think.
Yeah.
And probably after that some time, he'll get bored and start something new. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe he'll jump on the Qualcomm bandwagon and start to get that in a far more usable state. Because hey, that would work for me as well. I just really want ARM on Linux on desktops and laptops. I think it's a great architecture, and it has a lot of benefits. And but it is a lot more difficult. It's a lot harder than x86. It's just completely different architectures, and we've had decade upon decade upon decade of x86, and it hasn't really changed a great deal. It's just got a bit faster every time, and well, unless you're Intel, then sometimes it gets a bit slower. Shots fired there, but it, for the most part, you know, it's stayed very, very consistent. And you know, ARM doesn't have that same level of, you know, history to it. It also doesn't have the same level of, you know, market penetration for Linux distribution, Linux sort of usage and that sort of thing as well. So there's,
well, you got the Raspberry Pis, of course.
Yeah, but that's one, you know.
Yeah. But I'm kind of curious. I mean, we're going on a tangent here, maybe to end upon. ARM just announced that they're going to start building their own silicon. They're going to make their own chips now in collaboration with TMC, if I'm not mistaken. Would have to look that up to be sure. But if they really become a manufacturer, and at the moment they're talking that they're just going to make reference designs, but yeah, Intel also made NUC reference designs, but they were definitely a chip manufacturer. So we'll see if that goes better or not. For me, the main advantage for the whole Qualcomm affair, let's call it that, is that Intel has released their Lunar Lakes a little while ago as well, that actually offers similar battery, because that's the one thing I'm always looking for. I mean, if one have a powerful CPU, if one of the biggest gaming PC or whatever, you can have AMDs and Intel CPUs that will blow the socks off of any Mac. Hmm. Not a problem there. But if you want battery life,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If you don't want ridiculous power consumption, then that's where it goes.
And that's why x64 has been able to increase their speed all the time, because they're simply overclocking them. And the same with the graphics card. Look at the Nvidia cards now. I was hoping to get a 5 series. I'm not going to get one because it's just a super overclocked 4.
Yeah.
And my little 2080 Ti still works okay enough.
Yeah. Yeah, similar sort of situation here. I went from a 2080 Ti that failed to a 3080, second-hand 3080 that, you know, really all NVIDIA has done for the past three generations is just up the power budget each time and got fractionally more efficient. But really,
and melting cables, that's a very important topic as well.
Oh, that's true. The last two generations have been very good at melting cables. Yeah, I mean, they're basically like toasters. So, yeah. You know,
but just, you have the 3080 with 24 gigabytes of VRAM? Those are actually worth the same amount of money as a 5090 today. Because all of the people want to run their LLMs locally, they want to have the big VRAMs, and apparently the 3080 is the only 24 gigabytes out there, except for I think the 5090, which you can't even get a glimpse of. So don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Keep it. Keep it.
Indeed. Investment. Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Anyway, with that, unless you have any more closing words.
Nope.
Then that is all the time we have for today. You can support this podcast by motivating us, giving us good feedback, not challenging us too much, but we're okay. We have thick skin, so we can send stuff our way. We're not going to stop our stuff just yet. And of course, by being a Patreon, contributions do help. We are on YouTube. There's little moving pictures there. We can see your co-hosts and the pretty graphs and websites we sometimes put on display. And you can hit notification bells and like us there or even leave a comment. You can also go to our webpage at www.drawingelf.org. There are links there to the Patreon page, YouTube page, and more information about the podcast. And as always, you can still send your feedback by plain old email to podcast@theroaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is Common Sense John.
And my name is Asahi's Not Bad, Dave.
I look forward to drinking another Japanese beer with you next week. Goodbye.
See you then.